I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Welcome back to Radio Times. The traditional Thanksgiving meal is about 4,500 calories of comfort food, from the stuffing to the pumpkin pie and just about everything in between. Many say that this is their favorite holiday because it's about family and friends and food. It certainly is my favorite holiday. It can also be a hectic one, even an anxiety-producing one, because of the meal that has a lot of moving parts and because it involves food generally for a lot of people. Well, help is on the way. It's a Radio Times tradition on the day before Thanksgiving when we invite Philadelphia chefs on the show to share their secrets and suggestions. And two of them are sitting across from me here in our studio. Let me introduce them to you. Nicholas Elmy is chef and owner of Laurel. He's also season 11 winner of Bravo's TV's Top Chef. And Nick Elmy, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Marcy Turney, and she's chef and co-owner of Lolita, Barbuzo, Habanera, Marcy Blaine Chocolates, Little Nonas, and coming soon, Bud and Marilyn's, all on 13th Street in Philadelphia. And Marcy Turney, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks
as well.
For having me.
You're very welcome. And to our listeners, and we always get inundated with phone calls and comments as well, let me give out all the ways that you can get in touch with us. The phone number is 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. Any questions or comments for our guest? Marcy, let me begin with you and take you back to your childhood. What are some of your early Thanksgiving meal memories?
I would say early Thanksgiving, we have a joke in our family. My grandparents owned a restaurant, and my mom was not a great cook. So we say it skipped a generation. So it involved, way back in the day, a turkey, the cranberry sauce from the can with the ridges.
Oh, there you go.
The green bean salad with the Pringle top onions and stuffing from the box. And then as I got older, my brother's a chef as well, then we would just go crazy.
But that was like your very traditional early
I love cranberry sauce from a can.
Well, I was going to say, I can almost taste that. How about for you?
I'm unfortunately in the same boat.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, my mom tried really hard. And
I
love her very much if she's listening.
Not much
it was,
of a cook.
It was very much like a Knorr's packet gravy with the old gravy seasoning and a turkey that was blown out of the water and some watery butternut squash. And she did make very nice potatoes.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
And I'm a huge fan of box stuffing.
And what is a turkey blown out of the water? What is it? What
That's one that was put in at like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I got you.
And it's like the old Chevy Chase going to carve it tableside, and it just deflates. She's good at cooking that turkey day.
So. All right. So are you cooking tomorrow?
I am, yeah.
Okay. And what's on the menu for your family?
Well, we have a small Thanksgiving. We have like a traveling family. My family's all up and down the East Coast, and my sister, my oldest sister now lives in L.A. So a lot of my family's going out to L.A. A lot of my family's staying in New Hampshire. So it's just me, my wife, my kids, my cousin Brooke, and my in-laws. So there's only like six or seven of us. We're doing a capon. Like Yukon gold potatoes, a little gratin, and to do some acorn squash, some Brussels sprouts, like some really simple stuff. Mm-hmm. I tried a couple of years ago doing fun Thanksgiving, and it didn't work out.
Apparently, there was a real revolt in your family.
Yeah, it really
right?
was.
You
we
can't
had like
do that.
We had like it was the first time my wife and I hosted Thanksgiving, and there was like 20 of us at the house, and I did truffled pork belly and a stuffed rabbit and just poussins and all those, you know, right. What I thought was wonderful. And they were like, there's no turkey. Like, no, we didn't do a turkey. Like,
so you can stray, but not too far.
Yeah, no, I don't think
meal.
You can stray at all. I don't think that's the problem.
And Marcy, what are you doing tomorrow?
Well, I could lie to you, but I will not.
Okay,
this
sure
year,
enough.
Our businesses are all closed, so we ordered from Percy Street.
Really
we
enjoy,
pick
man.
It up today.
I'm saying, I'm actually jealous right now.
Oh, this year we're nice. Taking off.
And so what did you order from Percy Street?
I actually have no idea Val ordered
They're doing
it,
smoked turkeys.
Yeah, I would imagine it's smoked turkey, and that's what I would love, and some barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
But in the past years, we would do, depending on, you know, we would do kind of a Spanish Thanksgiving and chorizo stuffing and smoked pimentón on the turkey, or Mexican, and we would just go all crazy. I would do one. My brother would do a version. So this year we're taking off, though.
Well, you get to, like, do your interpretation of Thanksgiving? Because we have to do, like, the Thanksgiving.
No, no, no.
We have
kids.
Like,
Well, we were talking about this before going on the air, and I think so many families now have, you know, they have the carnivores, the vegetarians, the vegans, the gluten-free crowd, and on and on and on. And I'm sort of the mind that whatever the cook cooks up, you should eat it. What do you think, man?
I mean, that's fine. I mean, if you're going to someone's house, you should probably be prepared to just eat whatever they're cooking. And if you're not, then I say just bring it, whatever you want to eat.
Yeah, bring your own.
Yeah. Bring your own. Do you have a theory on that, Marcy? Or?
I would say the same thing. I mean, vegetarian, there would always be some sides, vegetable sides. But vegan is kind of tough. If I knew there was a vegan, I could do some vegetable sides for them. But I would say if you want to bring
Thanksgiving
some fake meat
such a big
product,
undertaking to begin with.
And there's a lot of butter.
Yeah, cook and the one as a host, like it's such a huge undertaking to begin with. And you always have like your menu set like months in advance. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's always tough to transition out of that and do extra special things. It's just like, come on, man.
Just eat what I'm
one
serving.
Day a year, just eat the damn turkey.
Let's talk about turkey, and I'll start with you, Marcy. And I, you know, for people, this is like the, you know, the gigantic bird you get once a year.
Yep.
You're not familiar with what to do with it, and there's the brining, the not brining. What are your basic suggestions to listeners?
My basic suggestions would be, first of all, if you're getting a frozen turkey, you need to make sure you have it thawed. running it under hot water through your dish machine or something isn't going to work.
Yeah.
So it should be sitting out or putting it in the fridge.
In the refrigerator for
somewhere. Yeah, don't let it sit out.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't let it sit out.
I would always get a fresh turkey from Lancaster, and I would let it sit in the refrigerator uncovered to dry the skin so you get nice crispy skin.
Oh.
And then for me, it's tenting over the breast so you can, you know, you don't want the skin too dark.
With foil, do you use?
With foil.
Right.
Butter under the skin, herbs under the skin, and 20 minutes per pound, or if it's fresh, it tends to be a little bit less per pound, how many minutes, you know, you would cook that, and then baste it.
Look at all the
juices.
That come out.
You have to pay attention to it. You just don't put it in and then go start drinking and watch football. So you got to pay attention to it, but don't be crazy, you know. And then a thermometer, I think, is a huge for a home person, a home cook, and for a chef.
One that's been calibrated.
Turkey. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people have thermometers that they bring out once a year, and it's like 10 degrees off.
Welcome to my kitchen. 325, is that what you think for oven? Nick?
Yeah, I go lower. I mean,
really,
I'm a briner. I like to brine it for a day at least.
What do you brine it in?
Just a normal salt solution. You know, we don't do any crazy pink salt or anything like a pickling spice. We just do salt, a little bit of sugar, and water, let it sit for 24 hours. I actually like to poach it before I roast it. That was a George Perrier trick that I picked up. And poach it and then let it cool off and it dries out the skin before you roast it. We do like 275 for a pretty long time, and then blast it at the end to crisp up all the skin. But stuffed with tons of herbs and tons of butter.
In the cavity or under the skin?
Yeah,
you do
cavity.
Under the skin,
we do
right?
both, yeah.
Right. So, or just your tarragons, your thyme?
Rosemary, a lot of thyme, some lemons.
And
a fair amount of salt. Especially inside the cavity. Like, I put a pretty decent fistful of salt in the cavity.
Oh, like just like...
Coarse kosher salt. Gotcha. That goes first, and then the herbs, and the lemons, and then butter everywhere.
Well, I grew up like a lot of people, you know, you stuff the turkey with the stuffing, but apparently that's a no-no, Marcy.
Yeah. I don't put the stuffing in the cavity. You have to make sure the temperature then is at like 160, 165.
But then you end up blowing away your turkey.
Yeah.
Trying to get that.
Yeah. And that's the trick, which is how the stuffing cooks versus how the turkey cooks.
Yeah.
And trying to reconcile the
two. Yeah. I mean, for me as a chef, when we're cooking Thanksgiving, we're stealing everything from the restaurant. So
exactly.
I'm stealing like reduced chicken
fair.
Stock, and I'll make stuffing with that. You know what I mean? Yeah. It isn't fair.
So what kind of stuff? I mean, what are some things people should think about to kind of dress up their stuffing?
For stuffing, for me, I like moist inside and crispy on the outside. And, you know, dried bread cut up. And with flavor, you know, your celery, your onion... I do garlic, herbs, and then you can add mushrooms and chestnuts. You can do any kind of flavor variation that you want and some chicken stock to moisten it. And then same thing, take it, if you're doing it separate, take the foil off and let it get crispy on top right at the end. Try and time it.
How about for you, stuffing?
I think I could eat a box of stuffed up by myself. Yeah. But
it is pretty tasty.
One thing I don't like is when I hate fruits and nuts in stuffing. Like, I can't stand it. When
like
someone puts, like, dried raisins
or
dried cranberries,
You don't like nuts either?
No, I don't, like, throw it against the wall when someone gives me stuffing. Like, I'll refuse to eat it. Like, I'm done. If I get, like, cranberry stuffing, I'm done with that. I'm like,
stick to the herbs, the veggies, bread.
There's no amount of gravy you can put on cranberry stuffing that's going to make me eat it.
Well, we have an email from Chris. Any tips for cooking the stuffing outside of the bird? If there's sausage in it, should you cook it before putting the dish in the oven?
Oh, yeah, I think you should render the sausage first just to get all the flavor out of the sausage, and then do your vegetables and then your bread. And I like pan stuffings, like a cake pan.
Oh,
a bread pan or a cake pan, yeah.
Anything you want to add to that?
No, I would say the same thing. Render out the meat. I think stuffing is forgiving. You can go ahead and while the bird is sitting there and resting for 20 minutes, that's your end browning of the stuffing. But you can have it done, do it the day ahead, for a home cook, and then brown it right at that last 20 minutes.
I think that's a good point, though, that you casually brought up, is letting the bird rest.
Yeah.
For quite some time. Depending on the size of the bird, it takes anywhere between 20 minutes and 40 minutes to let the bird, relax before you start carving.
And covered or uncovered?
I do covered.
To keep some of the...
Sometimes it softens the skin. So if you're going for, super crispy skin and you cover it to, let it rest, it's going to soften that skin. But you can always just give it a quick blast of the broiler to crisp it back up. But I think a lot of people, bring it out of the oven and let it sit for 2 or 3 minutes and then start carving it. And then it's just, a watery mess everywhere.
Oh, so what happens as it rests?
As it rests, it just kind of brings that liquid back in and lets it settle down. And so when you carve it, it retains more moisture.
Yeah, the juices will go back into the meat.
About a minute or so before our first break here, what are some veggies you suggest, Marcy, people give a shot? I know pumpkin's a big deal these days.
Yeah, for me, it can be, Brussels sprouts has been the big thing forever, but parsnips, celery root, there's so many different celery root, Brussels sprouts, fennel shaved as just a raw shave salad for something fresh and crisp, But then you can also roast those in olive oil, some shallots, some herbs, lemon. Any vegetable, really.
Yeah.
I love vegetables.
Me too.
I think when people think of squash, I think everyone always reaches for butternut squash. It's there's so many different varieties.
Yeah.
Although, if you put marshmallows on sweet potato, I'm pretty
happy.
Eat
that.
But delicata squash and Hubbard squash and spaghetti squash. There's so many other spectacular squashes out there that you can roast and serve very simply. But
and mix them up, maybe?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, one of my favorite squashes right now are pumpkins, is the kombucha pumpkin. And peeling it, and it's so dense, and it drove me crazy for so long. And so now I braise it, and it still holds together, and I'm addicted to that texture that it has.
Well, let's take a very short break. We'll get back to our conversation. This is our pre-Thanksgiving tradition when we invite Philadelphia chefs to share some of their suggestions, some of their secrets. Marcy Turney, chef and co-owner of Lolita, Barbuzo, Hamanera, Marcy Blank Chocolates, and Little Nona's on 13th Street in Philadelphia. Nick Elmy, that's it, chef and owner of Laurel, which is on Passyunk. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. So are you ready for Thanksgiving? We know many of you are going to be spending or have already spent many hours in the kitchen preparing the annual feast. And again, our guests are Nick Elmy and Marcy Turney. They are chefs here in Philadelphia. And we are talking about what to do with the turkey, various ways to think about pumpkin and sweet potato. Brussels sprouts came up. Any questions or comments, give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can send us a tweet at Marty Moss. Cohen, any questions or comments? Let me get Laura from Wynwood, who called us up. And Laura, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Every year I'm the chef of the family, and for the past many years I've gone down to Washington, D.C. early in the week to bring my mom up for Thanksgiving. She's really getting too old and frail to travel, so this year we're going to take the feast on the road to her. But she's in a small retirement apartment, definitely too small of a kitchen to cook. So I'm cooking everything today, and the question is, what do I do with the bird? How do I reheat it? Should I try to reheat it whole? Should I carve it today and reheat it in pieces? How would I try to, you know, heat everything up? And the other dishes are fine, but the bird is the question.
How would I
reheat that the next day?
And Laura, how big a bird are we talking about?
13 pounds.
13 pounds, okay.
And how big of an oven do they have?
Well, it's probably just big enough for an oven that I could leave it whole.
Right.
I wouldn't. I would break it down into, like, legs and breasts, like four separate, you know, two breasts, two legs, and then reheat it that way. Because then you can still carve it when you're done, and it's not going to take a year to reheat it, you know. But make sure after you do cook it today, you cool it down properly, like let it sit out for a little bit, and then let it go straight in the fridge for uncovered for quite some time. So you make sure that temperature comes down quickly.
So refrigerate it first before I cut it?
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, and then how would I get the – I know how to get the legs off. How would I get the breasts off whole?
Just be strong.
You got to do better than that.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to take the legs off first and then try to take the entire backbone off. Like, and you know, if you have a great pair of kitchen shears, that'll help. And then, you know, really get a strong knife and maybe someone to help you. Just let it go right down, you know, the between the two breasts towards the neck.
Good luck with that, Laura.
Okay, and then how would at what temperature and how would you reheat it?
Do you have any more?
I mean, I would
to touch.
I would do it a little bit, maybe like 350, and put some, you know, some liquid in the bottom, tent it, and you just have to. You can take a little knife or something, and you poke it into the breast and just feel the tip of the knife, and if it's still cold or if it's warm, take the foil off just to crisp the skin. But
okay.
Yeah.
So figure like half an hour or so.
Yeah, it should be about that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Laura. Thanks for calling
Perfect.
In the Radio Times. You're welcome. We have an email from Kate. She says, do you have any tips for a gravy that doesn't taste like a salt lick? I mean, obviously, too much salt, right?
Yeah. There you go. That was easy.
Yeah. then let me reframe her question. So what's a good way to make gravy? You want to?
I would take, if you're going to take all the drippings and everything from the bottom of your turkey, you take that, add flour. And I like to get it, it's called a roux, and get it nice and dark brown, and then add some stock back into it. If you're not going, if you're trying to do it separate, butter and flour, and I would do shallots and garlic, and then some stock on the side as well, and herbs, but... Yeah, I mean, a salt lick, you're putting too much salt.
Yeah, or you're using
go ahead, Nick.
Using too many bouillon cubes.
Yeah.
You pull back on the bouillon cubes.
The dead giveaway,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they make so many great, like, I mean, I think we're fortunate enough where we probably, I know I do, like you mentioned earlier, like steal from the restaurant
right.
and grab a quart of veal stock or a quart of chicken stock. But they do make some pretty decent stocks.
And low sodium.
Yeah, low sodium stocks at grocery stores now that should help out a little bit easier.
Okay, thanks. We have a Facebook comment from Rise. My husband went gluten-free about 15 years ago, and I make my stuffing with kasha. I make it the same way you would with bread stuffing, but use kasha instead of bread. Makes sense to you, Marcy?
Oh, I mean, definitely.
You don't have to use bread, right?
No, you don't have to use bread. You can use any grain. Sure.
Yeah, that sounds great, actually.
Yeah,
send that recipe along.
Yeah, exactly. Let me get Ann to join us. Ann from Ardmore. Ann, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. I've cooked turkeys lots and lots of times, and my favorite way is my mother's way, which is breast down for the first hour and a half at least, and then you have to flip it. Now, she never taught me how to flip the damn bird without getting grease all over my...
That's a big job.
My apron and so on. Is there any way of trussing it up so that, I mean, on the car this morning, I thought, maybe I'll make a chain out of aluminum foil and put it right through the bird, except I want to stuff it.
No, you know what? I think the best bet is
very inventive. Go ahead.
You have two oven mitts?
Yes.
Take your oven mitts and cover them with plastic grocery bags. And then, I mean, using your hands are usually the best way to control
something. Fantastic.
So cover your oven mitts with plastic grocery bags, and then you can handle it yourself and flip it over yourself.
That's great. Can I make a comment about gravy?
Yes, please.
Because I make perfect gravy.
Oh, you do?
I really
not
do.
To boast.
To
yeah, go ahead, Ann.
I first of all, I have about a pint of pan drippings frozen in the freezer from last year.
Oh, there you go.
I love that.
Yep.
The other thing, you cannot use pan drippings from a brined turkey. It's way too salty. But anyway, you dump the stuff out of the pan and then pour boiling water to get all the pan drippings. And then you try to make time for this. You put all that stuff in a big Pyrex, for instance, container, stick it in the fridge or even in the freezer to get all the fat to go to the top, and you throw it away. And then you start your roux with cold water.
And you
she's professional.
Yeah, that's impressive, Anne, and pretty straightforward. So I know I appreciate you sharing.
And you also have to have giblets and sure. chicken yep. and the liver and stuff. Oh, and the neck. You have to cook the neck.
And where do you live?
Where are we going next?
where are we going tomorrow?
We have 11 people coming. So.
Well, there's room for three more, isn't there? No, Anne, thanks
sure.
for the call.
Thanks for the call to
Radio Times. Let me ask a really basic question. Do you suggest cleaning as you go, just filling the sink with stuff so it's waiting for you when the meal is over? I mean, I always think the cleaning part is sometimes as challenging as the cooking part, and certainly the least fun.
I'm a clean as you go, and I would have stuff prepped out, meased out, we say as chefs.
Meased out.
Before, yeah.
I'm not. not at all. I'm like, that's one of like our biggest point of contention between my wife and I. Is like, she loves it when I cook at home, but then I just like, where's my dishwasher? Did my dishwasher not clock in today? So, I do everything, and then I'll either wash it while I'm done, or we trade off. Like, if you're cooking, you don't have to clean, which is, I think, a fairly common trade-off.
That seems kind of fair. What do you suggest people drink? I mean, there's alcohol, I should say, of course, or cider. I don't know. What do you suggest for the...
We do... I mean, I know a lot of people knock Beaujolais Nouveau, but we do Vin
Chaud. A red wine.
Yeah, like Vin Chaud, which is just, like, spiced, warm red wine. And I mean, that's something that my wife and I fell in love with when we were in Paris, is like just being able to walk down the Champs-Élysées and they have like just stalls of like hot mulled wine that you just walk around and drink.
With cinnamon in it?
That's cinnamon. And we do cinnamon starry and a little bit of black pepper. And we let it just steep for like an hour or so.
Awesome.
That sounds great.
And we'll just kick around and drink that. But that's during the day. I think a light red wine during dinner is fine.
Not a white wine.
Anything. I think... Drink anything.
Yeah. I mean, we'll
don't
have
get too into
not,
it.
Of, yeah people, ahead. It's not too serious.
No, it's
whatever.
Not.
If you want beer, you have beer. If you want wine, I'm a red wine drinker. And then a lot of times for Thanksgiving, we'll have people from the restaurant over afterwards if people are coming home that night. And then, then it's you better look out.
Yeah.
Kick back, put your feet up.
Yeah.
Let me reintroduce the two of you. That's Marcy Turney, chef and co-owner of Lolita Barbuzo, Amanera, Marcy Blaine Chocolates, Little Nonas, and coming soon to 13th Street, where all those restaurants live, is Bud and Marilyn's. Also with us is Nick Elmy. He's chef and owner of Laurel, which is on Passyunk Avenue. Both these places, or all these places, in Philadelphia. And I should add, he is the season 11 winner of Bravo TV's Top Chef. We are taking questions and comments and suggestions at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. I see people are putting Facebook comments up as well. You can do that. And you can also send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. And we are talking about what to cook for Thanksgiving. Let me get, looks like Diane from South Philadelphia to join us. Diane, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, good morning. I have an alternative to turkey. Being a vegan for many years, what I do is I make a chestnut wild rice stuffing, and I stuff a pumpkin, traditional stuffing, and I put it in a big pumpkin, and I bake it in the oven. And when it comes out, when you scoop the filling out, the flesh comes along with it, with the pumpkin. And it's really delicious. And what I make is with mushroom, hazelnut gravy with a lot of garlic and thyme. And it's really well accepted by all my company.
Well, that sounds really pretty
tasty.
Sounds
delicious. Yeah. I love vegetables. And for me, it would be a side dish. But that's so interesting, putting in the pumpkin. And then it must be a nice presentation at the table.
Indeed. It must look really, really nice. What about for dessert? What's on your...
Pecan pie.
Pecan.
That's it.
I mean, just no
There's
question.
No, nothing else. Yeah, I'm not a big pumpkin pie fan. Pecan pie, like, I just like the gooey, stickiness of a
really
well executed.
That's 4,000 calories there per slice.
I'd rather eat that all day, yeah.
And you don't like pumpkin pie?
It doesn't taste like pumpkin. It tastes like spices.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Am I wrong? I'm not bananas, right?
Exactly right. I know.
It doesn't taste anything like what a pumpkin tastes like.
Right. I think people assume that is what pumpkin tastes like, but it is the spices, yeah.
And for you?
If I'm having a group of people do a slab pie, it's a little bit easier.
That?
It's kind of in a more like in a 13-inch by 9-inch pan, but kind of doing a pie that way. It's easier just to portion out for people.
Oh, as opposed to a pie pan.
Right. You know, if you're going to have a group of people, if you're going to have more than 10 people. And I, for pies, I like anything. I like salt, definitely. On, you know, if it's an apple pie with salted caramel or if there's chocolate, I love
no
good.
Cheddar cheese.
No
on your apple pie.
In the crust sometimes.
There you go.
Pecorino,
yeah, that's probably pretty good.
Like yeah. But just the classics, but a little, you know, switch to them.
What's the key to making a good crust, a good flaky, tasty crust?
For me, I would say I like you need sugar and salt and then very cold butter. In the food processor, I think is great.
Oh.
Just because it's the fastest way to incorporate the ingredients, the flour. And your water at the end, I always have a little bit of ice water. So super cold is going to give you the flakiest crust.
Yes, Nick?
No, it's the same thing. Cutting in your butter is the most important part. Yeah. Like being able to cut it in quickly and make it small enough. So, but I'm a big pie fan. Sit there at the dinner table waiting for dinner to be over. So
you can have a piece of pie.
Yeah.
And is it just pecan pie because it's a tradition? It tastes so good.
I don't know. It's really just... like... Again, it's one of those balance between salty and sweet right. that I really enjoy. I don't like things that are over the top sweet.
Mm-hmm. Or salty, as I understand it, too.
Yeah.
And one of the things maybe this came out on Top Chef, which is just you don't put as much salt.
I have a pretty delicate, what's called a delicate palate. Like, I can taste things relatively well without having to over-season them.
To your palate, you think?
Yeah, but I mean, I think I've gotten better at adjusting it and recognizing it. And, you know, throughout the season, I kind of would do stuff and then be like, oh, it tastes great. And then add a fistful of salt to it. now they'll like it too.
So we probably over-season or over-salt.
I think a lot of
your
people
perspective.
Do. I think a lot of people do.
Yeah. Do you think so too?
I'm the opposite. It's not bring on the salt, but it is very important in pastries and chocolates and food. And avocado. I would love to eat an avocado, but if you sprinkle a little bit of salt, it's a completely different thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but too much salt is the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have an email from Pam. Any tips on making a gluten-free roux? Excuse me. Ask Marcy.
Gluten-free roux.
So instead of, I guess, flour.
Right. I would say you could most likely use... rice flour? I've never tried it. It's something you'd have to test.
Slurry with cornstarch when you're done
with it, I guess. Yeah, you could use cornstarch, but
does it give the same kind of flavor?
I feel like I'm in a Chinese restaurant or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say rice flour and toasting it a little bit first and then adding the fat and then hot liquid to it. And good aromatics in there.
Let me get, looks like Wendy from Mount Laurel to join us on Radio Times. Hi, Wendy, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
My question is not necessarily for Thanksgiving. Of course, it can be used for Thanksgiving. But I often like to roast root vegetables. And I'm very good about cutting them all the same size when I put them on the pan. What I find is that they're not always coming out all the same. Like when I take the pan out of the oven, some are overcooked, some are undercooked. And I'm talking about like parsnips, sweet potatoes, maybe regular potatoes. I kind of forgot about celery root, so I would add that. But I'm just trying to get a sense as to, am I doing it too high, the temperature? I feel like my timing's off.
Go ahead.
My question is how to cook them properly so they all come out nicely at the same time.
Exactly.
There's two ways you can approach this. And one is to make sure you keep all of them separate and then just keep monitoring them and pull them out at different times and then mix them together at the end. And another one is you'd have to cut them differently because what you got to understand is each root potato has a different water content, so it's going to cook differently. So even though they're all cut the same size, you know, a sweet potato is going to roast in the oven a lot quicker than a parsnip is, because sweet potato has higher water content, and it's going to create steam, and that's going to cook the sweet potato really fast. If you're doing four different root vegetables, I suggest you just do like four different tiny pans in the oven, and then when you're done, toss them all together.
Or same kind of thing on a sheet tray. You could toss them all and put them separately in little piles,
mm-hmm.
so you can kind of
scoop them out. Like, you know, get one, I mean, gets done, and then scoop it out, and
just
put them right back.
Put
in.
It all together.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, like the same thing, but using one pan.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of sort of segregating them,
definitely.
And then they'll all sort of then pull them out one by one.
They all need different attention.
Indeed. We have a Facebook comment from Melody. She says, "At my house, if you're not cooking, then you are cleaning."
Exactly.
Exclamation point. Yes. Are there certain sort of post-Thanksgiving rituals that you have, Nick?
Post-Thanksgiving
rituals?
We always try to go for a walk. As a family, we try to go out for a walk. I grew up in the sticks, what would be considered
the
sticks.
Country.
We spent a lot of time outside. So we would either go outside and play football when we were done. We'd have an early dinner, and everybody would go outside and play football. We'd just go for a hike or, you know, we were out in the country. So
yeah, how about for you, Marcy?
I guess all the, like my brother, they're all watching football, and I really don't care about that. So it would be, you know, just talking in a separate room or in the same room with people I haven't seen and catching up. Yeah.
Just because certainly that's the other part of Thanksgiving, which is being with family and friends that you maybe haven't seen for a while.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's take another short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. Again, we are talking about what's for Thanksgiving dinner, and it's a pre-Thanksgiving tradition that we have here on Radio Times. Again, inviting local chefs to come in and talk about what they do for Thanksgiving, and also to share some cooking and cleaning ideas. And again, Nick Elmy is chef and owner of Laurel, which is on Passyunk Avenue here in Philadelphia, and season 11 winner of Bravo's TV's Top Chef. Marcy Turney with us as well, and she's got a whole bunch of restaurants on 13th Street, Lolita Barbuzo, Yamanera, Marcy Blaine Chocolates, Little Nona's, and coming soon, Bud and Marilyn's. Give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. We'll be talking about what to do with the leftovers after this short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss Cohen, talking with Marcy Turney and Nick Elmy about cooking for Thanksgiving. And we're also taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. You can also put a message on our Facebook page, and you can send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. I mean, one of the wonderful things, Marcy, about Thanksgiving are just what to do with all those leftovers. Let's start with a turkey.
I mean, there's the typical sandwich.
Yes.
I'm kind of I love salads where there's a warm component. So kind of turkey warm with like romaine and kind of boring. I like those boring lettuces, the watery lettuces that are crisp. And then,
like an iceberg lettuce, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, and putting nuts and, you know, a very light dressing, and that's after that heavy meal. That's something I could get down with the next afternoon.
How about for you, Nick?
Stuffing sandwiches.
Stuffing sandwiches.
Double bread.
And a big chunk of bread, right?
Yeah, and then you go for a nice long run. Get your carbs up now.
Yeah. Truly?
Yeah.
Truly?
Yes. I love a stuffing sandwich with a little cold gravy, stuffing between two pieces of bread. Yep. All day.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised you're
as
slim
as you are. Don't
knock
until
you
try it. I've got to get slimmer.
Yeah. What about the bird, the carcass itself?
Soup.
Soup.
My kids love like
just
chicken
boil
noodle
it
soup.
All night long kind of thing?
No. Just cut it up and make like quick noodle soup for the kids. They love it. Yeah.
You don't like just boil the bones all night long? No? Yes?
I don't understand what you mean.
Well, that's
like
what
the,
that's
like the cooked bones?
The bones, like making
stock.
Oh,
no, no, no. Like,
in a
I'll
big
do,
pot
like,
with onions?
No,
and
like I said, I just take chicken stock from the restaurant and I make it nice.
Oh, see.
You get to cheat all the time.
Well, but regular people don't get to do that. What about for you, the carcass?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great solution. Or like the woman who called in and was saving the pan drippings, you could make stock and you could save it for later on and put it in the freezer, cool it down and freeze it.
She has space in her freezer to save.
I know.
For a year? For a year you get to save stock?
A year's pretty crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have used that up by now for something.
Let me see what Andrew from Pineville has to say. Andrew, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Well, this was a terrific show. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to tell you that I grew up in an Italian household, which was completely the same as everyone else's household, except you started with ravioli or lasagna, antipasto, the whole turkey dinner, and then a big iceberg lettuce salad with canned black olives.
Nice. Love it. And, love it.
And, oh, it just brings back memories. My favorite thing afterwards was the next day my dad would make open-faced hot turkey sandwiches with Stroman white bread and leftover gravy.
Oh, my goodness. But
I was intrigued by the idea of poaching the bird to crisp the skin, and I want to know how much, how long to do that. And I also have a real simple gluten-free gravy, just roast off carrots and parsnips and leeks with the bird, and then take a food mill and puree them right into the drippings, and it kind of makes a thicker kind of gravy. But at any rate, how long do you poach those birds?
We usually bring water up to a boil, season it relatively well so it almost tastes like seawater, and then turn it off and drop the bird in for about 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't really depend.
Does it have to be covered?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be covered. Just drop the bird in, keep the water off for 10 minutes. It just firms everything up on the outside. And then when you pull it out, put it back in the fridge, it everything just dries off really, really well.
Oh, that's interesting. Andrew, do you have a restaurant in Pineville?
Yeah, I do.
You do. Pineville Tavern, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thanks. No, I just was checking. I appreciate the call to Radio Times.
That gravy, gluten-free gravy, was taught to me by Jim Hamilton from Hamilton's Grill about 30 years
ago. Up in Lambertville. That's great.
Yeah, he doesn't like using flour in anything.
Well, it's good to hear from chefs. And, Andrew, I appreciate the call to Radio Times.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks so much. Let me get to, it looks like Marianne from Houston, Texas, to join us. Hi, Marianne. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, no, you've got Meg from Bryn Mawr.
Oh, Meg from Bryn Mawr. Okay, go ahead, Meg.
Okay, two things. One, I normally cook a large bird for guests, but this year it's just the four of us, so I only got a turkey breast, and I was thinking I would make tetrazzini with the leftovers, but the turkey breast is 9 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And normally, I would put ice on the breast of a whole bird so that it doesn't overcook too quickly while the rest of the bird is cooking, and I have no idea what the ideal temperature in a convection oven would be for the breast and whether I should bother cooking it breast side down.
Nick, is that big breast? 9 pound
what
breast?
What does breast side down mean when you're cooking one breast? You mean skin side down?
Skin side down.
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't know, I would do it at 250 or 275 just until it was cooked all the way through, and then probably take off the cover and broil it to crisp the skin, or you can throw it in a pan or throw it on a grill just to crisp the skin up, and then let it rest for a while.
What do you think, Marcy?
Yeah, and I have a market called Grocery, and we do turkey breasts. They're skinless, though, when we get them.
Mm-hmm.
And we always are trying to keep them from drying out, and usually it tapers down at one end. So if you're able to, that one end is probably going to get a little bit drier. But we do it, same thing. We do it in a convection oven, and it's 300 degrees, and we put it on a bed of aromatics and liquid in the bottom, creating a rack. And same thing, you put it in there. I would tent the top just for a little while, and then when you thickest part, put the thermometer in, and you're trying for that 160, and it'll go up to 165 resting.
Then you're good to go.
Yeah, but you have to be a turkey breast. It's very lean.
It's a large turkey breast, isn't it?
Yeah, 9 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah, we get them. Is it one breast or is it the two?
On a cage.
In a netting that you got.
Well, it's a fresh breast from a Lancaster butcher. And they, I think they're heritage birds, so, they're bigger breasts anyway.
Yeah, gotcha.
It's the whole breast. I mean, it's not cut. Anything fun to do different with turkey tetrazzini?
Boy, that takes me back to my childhood.
Turkey tetrazzini,
Marcy.
Anything fun to do with it? Using, you can use vegetables that are you know, our autumn vegetables. Yeah, I mean,
I have to go Google turkey tetrazine.
You don't know like that? I don't know what that is. From like the 50s, 60s.
What is it?
It's usually turkey and pasta and peas
vegetables,
and,
right?
Yeah, and kind of a creamy sauce.
Like a cassoulet.
And that's going to be your leftover use or your?
Yeah, I think that's her leftover use.
Okay, yeah.
Meg, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Now let's get Marianne from Houston, Texas. Excuse me, Houston, Texas, to join us. Marianne, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, I have a, I bought a 18, 19-pound turkey, which I should have taken out of the freezer on Sunday.
Oh, yes.
Monday evening, I did put it in my refrigerator to thaw out that way. If it is not thawed out by this evening, what is my next step to get it ready to cook in the morning?
It's a good question.
Nick,
I'm looking at you.
Yeah, do you have a something you can, like a big container you could put it in and let water run on it for a little bit?
Or put it in the sink?
Yeah.
I mean, your best bet like, is drop it in the restaurant. We would use what's called a five-gallon bucket, which is obviously a bucket that holds 5 gallons. Throw turkey in and run water on it until it's, you know, cold water, not like
not
hot
warm
water.
Water.
Yeah, cold water, and that'll make the process go a lot faster. It should only take a couple hours.
If you get
to it in a couple hours and it's still not thawed out, I would figure out something relatively quickly, because then you need to dry it out when you're done.
I mean, that should work.
That should work, and then dry it out overnight and then cook it tomorrow.
Makes sense to you?
Okay.
Yeah. In the restaurant, we run cool water over something and just keep it going, and that will thaw it out.
Well, Marianne, good luck with that. Let me ask you, Nick, just because you were on Top Chef, you won Top Chef. Did you have a good time?
It was an interesting experience.
And interesting is one of those kind of weasel words,
just said to be diplomatic about it.
Was it hard?
Yeah, the most difficult part about it is you're away for 8 weeks. You know, I have a wife and two very young children, and we have like no contact with the outside world for 8 weeks.
You're sequestered.
Yeah, I only talked to my wife twice in 8 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So it's tough. You know what I mean? You get no books, no TV, no music, nothing. And it's just, you know, that was the difficult part. After you get through the first challenge, like the rest of it is just like, just cook. Whatever happens, happens.
But it's kind of in this altered universe.
Yeah,
right?
Really. It's really strange. It really is strange. And then when they're done with you, they're just like, take care. And they just put you back out into like the real world. You're like, what just happened?
With all this new technology that you didn't know got invented in the last 2 months.
You don't know what happened for 8 weeks. We were gone for eight weeks and we didn't read the news, didn't have anything. And just so many things that happened, we came out, we were like, what? We'd have to catch up.
Wow.
And then I still get anxiety like when I go to grocery stores.
Why? Just because it's just so intense?
Like you're trained to like you hit the grocery store and through that 8 weeks you have to sprint through the grocery store and grab as much as you can as fast as possible. Now I get to the grocery store, I'm just like tapping my trying not to take
and,
off.
And the fact that you won, what does that get you?
They gave me some money. That was nice.
They gave you some money? Okay.
I mean, it was a fun experience. Yeah. You meet a lot of great people. You have a lot of great experiences, but that's that back to, it's like, and then you're done. It's like, back to normal life.
Well, and we were talking before going on the air, Marcy, that you and your partner have been on 13th Street for about 11 years now.
Yeah.
This is in Philadelphia, began with Lolita.
Lolita, yes.
And, I mean, 13th Street 11 years ago was
the red light district.
Weird no man's land between Center City and the rest of the city.
Yes, concierges would tell people not to walk down that street 10 years ago. And now it's in the heart of the city and it's hopping.
And were you just smart and lucky? And
no, we were saying earlier, I'm like, we get credited for being so smart. We picked this great location, but it was all we could afford.
Oh, really?
Truthfully, yeah. And we lucked out.
Let me see. Actually, another Facebook message. This is from Joanna. She says, in my mother's Syrian-American family, Thanksgiving always means the traditional dishes plus the much-coveted grape leaves, kibbeh, and tabbouleh. We waited all year long for these dishes. What a feast. I mean, it is great how you, yes, there is this traditional meal, but there's so many ways to play with it and add. You know.
And just the American family. My brother and his fiance just had a baby, and she's Filipino. So when we go to his fiance's parents' home, it's traditional. It's Filipino food, and it's awesome. I love, all the different traditions.
I would love to be able to travel around and see other people's interpretation of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
all I know is what I know, and that's because like my that's what my family beats into us is like you're not allowed to stray from this. Like I would love to be able to go exactly. Like I'd love to be able to go into other people's homes and like see what I mean.
Yeah.
The first time I went to my wife's house for Thanksgiving, they are very traditional Italian. The first thing they put on the table, they like cook this gigantic, beautiful feast and put all the stuff, everything on the table, and then they drop a bowl of ravioli in front of you. I'm like, I want to eat all that stuff. I don't want a bowl of raviolis. And everyone's just sitting there eating ravioli. I'm like, everything's getting cold, guys. We're not going to be able to eat all this stuff. It's just very, I don't know, it's just very strange being able to, but yeah, I'd love to be able to go see like other people's interpretation of what Thanksgiving is and what it should be.
So if someone's peeking in their window, it's probably,
just so don't make it sound creepy. I'd like to be invited, I should say.
I got you. Let me get Diane from Lower Gwynedd to join us. Hi, Diane. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, I'm Diane. I am looking right now at 12 large sweet potatoes. Every year I make, I cook them, I boil them, I mash them, I whip them with the electric mixer, I put in some orange, and I make a big batch of sweet potatoes, whipped mashed sweet potatoes. What I'd like to know is first, what's the easiest way to cook them and the best way? Should I boil them with their skins and then take the skins off? Should I bake them first? And then, if you would, a recipe for what I'm trying to make.
Well, let me toss that first to you, Marcy.
I'll do that. Sure. So you have 12 large sweet potatoes. If you want them to not be watery, I would suggest poking with a fork some holes in them, putting them and baking them uncovered, low temperature. Taking them out when you're cool enough to handle, peel them, and you're going to have the most intensely flavored without them being like waterlogged. For 12 sweet potatoes, I would say I'll give you a couple different things. Let's say a quarter cup of butter and 4 tablespoons of ginger if you like ginger, and minced up. 2 tablespoons of garlic and 1/4 cup of shallots minced. And take that butter and saute those ingredients, and then you would mash them into the sweet potatoes. And then you can add just a little bit of cold butter. And you don't really have to put them in the mixer if you have a hand masher. And you should be able to, with the masher, you just stir them. Add a little bit of cold butter, and it's going to make them come together.
Oh, sounds good.
Yeah. And then if you want some herbs, you can put some herbs in there as well at the end.
Sounds good. Diane, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Nick, we didn't really talk about how you get all this stuff to come out all at the same time or the right time. And is it just sort of doing the math backwards and sort of figuring out, okay, the turkey's going to be 7 hours, the
yeah,
potatoes
I think
are going to
so.
Be an hour?
I mean, for us, it's probably second nature to make sure everything's rising right. at the same time and everything's warm at the same time. But there is a lot of shifting and a lot of puzzle piecing right. going on there. And I think you just have to play it out in your head. And especially if you don't have the right kitchen or the right equipment or the right stove, most importantly. Like we did one Thanksgiving where it was like my sister's apartment in Brooklyn, and we had one stove that could fit one pan. It's like, all right, no matter what we do, this isn't going to work. So you make deal with what you have.
Right.
But yeah, being able to time it all and put it all up properly and get it carved in front of people while it's still warm, it does prove to be relatively difficult for a lot of different people.
Well, on that note, my thanks to both of you, and happy Thanksgiving as well. Nick Elmy, thanks for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Chef and owner of Laurel Restaurant on Passyunk Avenue here in Philadelphia, season 11 winner of Bravo TV's Top Chef. Marcy Turney, thank you very much as well.
Thank you for having me.
And chef and co-owner of Lolita, Barbuzo, Amanera, Marcy Blaine Chocolates, Little Nonas, and Coming Soon, Bud and Marilyn's, all on 13th Street, also here in Philadelphia. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes, and you can find out much more about this program, including how to download podcasts of the show. Quinn Libson, our intern, and Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times. The show produced by Susan Greenbaum, Debbie Builder, Emily Bryant, and John Ahrens. I'm Marty Moscoen. Thanks for joining us, and have a very wonderful Thanksgiving.